Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk with Tonsoni. I'm your host, Brian Tonsoni. In this episode of Sports Talk with Tonsoni, we will discuss the opening week of college football and also share our NFL preview. We also include a What to Watch segment, the new and upcoming favorite part of the show, the B-Rent Rant, and a college pick'em. We hope you enjoy this podcast. If you're looking for more information on this podcast and other sports, please read our work at sportstalkwithtonsoni.com and follow us on Twitter at the handle @sportstons. Leave us your comments, your thoughts, your questions, and we'll try to address them in future episodes of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. Also encourage you to check out DelphiBracketology.com. Our high school students at Delphi have a club where we talk sports and we do NCAA basketball bracketology, but we also cover NCAA football with media credentials to some state schools, and our students are starting to put out college and NFL work. That is DelphiBracketology.com. And follow us on Twitter at @DelphiBrackets. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and most other podcast hosts. This episode was recorded on Tuesday, September 3rd. And before we begin this episode, here is a word from our sponsors. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Sports Talk with Tonsoni. We are going to talk a little bit about college football as college football season began this last weekend. Best game of the weekend, Auburn over Oregon. A great way to start the season. Bo Nix, freshman quarterback, dreamed of playing for Auburn, led a comeback late in the game, including a remarkable touchdown pass to seal the victory for Auburn. How about Jalen Hurts, the quarterback at Oklahoma, transferred from Alabama? I think Jalen Hurts is better at Oklahoma than he ever was at Alabama and was part of two national championship teams. Here's the thing about Jalen Hurts from a coaching standpoint that I really enjoy. It's the fact that when he was demoted from the starting quarterback by Tua Tagovailoa, probably did not pronounce that right, he stayed with Alabama, was able to help in the SEC championship game, but he stayed and supported the team and then took advantage of the graduate transfer to find a place at Oklahoma. Jalen did it right. He put team first until it was at a point where he could look out for himself, but he did that correctly, and over 500 yards and 6 touchdowns and vaulting to the top probably of many Heisman lists. Congratulations, Jalen Hurts. You gained a fan here in Coach Tonsoni. Clemson being Clemson, Thursday night got going, so there weren't too many upsets in the top of the pecking order for college football, as we talked about on last week's podcast, wanting some new faces in the championship Final Four. It doesn't look like it with Alabama and Clemson really rolling early. But the tradition of college football, the pageantry, the tailgating, all began in style across the nation and is always something to look forward to in the fall. Here's something a little bit that we noticed here at Sports Talk with Tonsoni, a lot about coaches. The SEC had some really bad upsets, and you could hear a little bit of this around the SEC. As Tennessee gets upset at home by Georgia State, Missouri loses to Wyoming, and South Carolina loses to North Carolina. But let's look at North Carolina. Mac Brown, an outstanding coach, both at North Carolina early in his career and taking Texas to a national championship. Sometimes coaches have a long period at one school and kind of wear out their welcome and unfortunately get let go a little too soon. Maybe that was the case with Mac Brown. Mac Brown's a quality coach. He goes to North Carolina to try to rebuild North Carolina, and in game one upsets South Carolina. And seeing Coach Brown try to dance, as an older gentleman myself, we're not up with the dancing of the young guys, but Mac Brown enjoying a hard-fought victory in the locker room with his North Carolina team. You feel for Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee, trying to rebuild a very proud tradition, and that college, that program for almost 18 years since the early 2000s has really, really struggled. And then a little sympathy out to Clay Helton at USC in a big year after losing season. Their quarterback, Daniels, tears a knee ligament and is out, and now they have to go to a true freshman in a schedule, or with a schedule that is absolutely brutal. So the college football season got off to a good start. Not a lot of outstanding games, but the games that were played were interesting to get started. I did notice that last week we did a Power 5 college prediction, and I left out the Big Ten, and I'm in Big Ten country. So that was kind of ridiculous, and hopefully we do a little bit better planning here. But our college football Big Ten prediction, the favorite for us is Michigan. We think they have enough, and Coach Harbaugh is going to be able to go to the Big Ten championship and win. Not sure it's enough to get into the Final Four, the Championship Four. The main contender is Ohio State, also from the East. And, you know, Penn State, Michigan State, Iowa, Wisconsin, all of those teams can make a run, but really I think it comes down to Michigan and Ohio State for the Big Ten championship. The team to root for, Northwestern, lost their opening game 17-7 out at Stanford. Did not look really good doing that, but the coach there at Northwestern is one that I really enjoy watching, and I think he does a good job and gets the most out of his talent and has won consistently. And so that's the team that I think people should look to root for. And a traditional team that's looking to return to glory is Nebraska. They've been down for a while, and Coach Frost, in his second year, has looked to bring Nebraska possibly back to a championship, a Big Ten championship, as the Big Ten West is open. A lot of teams could be picked for favorite in the Big Ten West. Wisconsin is probably the best team, but they have a brutal crossover schedule, and I think that's going to catch up and give them a few too many losses in order to compete for that slot in the Big Ten championship. So a lot of stuff happening last week in college football. What to watch for next week's in our What to Watch For segment. This is kind of a looking backwards a little bit, but also looking forward. The Cleveland Indians starting pitcher Carlos Carrasco returned from leukemia and received a standing ovation from his teammates out on the field, right by the dugout, and his opponents upon his return. There's a lot about baseball that is classy. I think it is America's sport. It's one of my favorite sports to watch and follow. Some people don't like baseball because of the pace, but there are some traditions in every sport that should be honored. And baseball takes care of its own. And here is a young man at the prime of his career facing a disease that all of us have, in some form or the other, had to face with friends and family and maybe personally. And he overcame that and was back on the mound. And so what to watch for is root for Carlos Carrasco, regardless of your team affiliation. That's a heck of a story as we finish the 2019 Major League Baseball. Speaking of baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals are hot in the Major League Baseball Central, National League Central. Can they expand the lead? At this time, it's 3 games over the Chicago Cubs. The Cubs are in the wild card, but St. Louis has taken advantage of winning at the right time. And that really is the only division that is probably up for grabs unless something crazy happens. Most of the Major League Baseball stories are going to come in your wild card games. Another thing to look forward to this week is the improvements of your favorite college team. Coaches always say in football, the greatest improvement comes from week 1 to week 2. And if you're an Indiana fan like I am, you hope that there's a lot of improvement from week 1 to week 2. But I think Notre Dame falls in that. I think Purdue locally falls in that as well. Also, U.S. Open tennis. Check it out. It's great athletes. Some of the best athletes around play tennis. And at the U.S. Open, you get to wear what you want. And some of the outfits are absolutely fantastic. So great play, great athletes, great people, colorful outfits. Check out the U.S. Open. Fantasy football begins as the NFL season starts on Thursday. Look for your owners in your league to overreact to opening week, dropping players who don't get off to a good start, trying to pick up players who do get off to a good start. You can take advantage, if you're a fantasy football owner, on some of the overreactions to this opening week. And it wouldn't be fantasy football if it wasn't for the NFL. And the season starts on Thursday night with Green Bay visiting the Chicago Bears. And What a great opening night rivalry game to kick things off, followed by a full slate Sunday and a doubleheader next Monday to get the NFL season started. If you are a subscriber to some cable or satellites, you have the Red Zone station, which brings you to all of the scoring that goes on, something to check out. If you're a DirecTV subscriber, check out NFL Ticket and maybe pay for the package where you can get all out-of-market games on your television. It's a great way to watch your favorite teams if they aren't in your home market. So now, I think what might end up being the favorite segment for our listeners, it is time for B-Rent's Take. B-Rent Tonsoni, my son, is a senior at Indiana State, he shares his thoughts on the world of sports each week. So, recorded live from Terre Haute via the phone, we have B-Rent. What do you have for us this week, B-Rent?
Thanks, Dad. I really appreciate you having me back on. This is going to be a lot of fun. My mind is still on college football. I think it's hard not to have it on college football after a busy week one. I know some people are probably trying to shift focus to week one of the NFL, but I've always been a college guy, whether it's basketball, football, so I'm going to keep talking college football. I've always been a Big Ten football guy, so I'm going to talk a little Big Ten, a little Big Ten recap. I'm going to go over some biggest winners that I thought for this week one, and I'm going to talk Ohio State, Wisconsin, Penn State, Maryland, and Illinois. Ohio State, Wisconsin, and Penn State, we kind of know what to expect. They took care of a lesser opponent, as they should have, but still, to have a blowout start is probably a big win for them. Maryland played Howard, so we don't know if that offensive power of putting up 79 points will be the real Maryland, but anytime you can put that kind of offense together is a great start, and I think they just wanted to make a statement with 79 points. That was unbelievable. I'm also going to talk about Illinois. They have struggled in the past. There's no line about that. But to get a big win against Akron 42-3, they need some success. And that doesn't mean they're going to have a good season. They could go 3-9, 4-8. But still, to have a 42-3 blowout win is a win for Coach Smith in the Fighting Illini. Now, some teams that got the win and are probably happy about being 1-0, but fans probably want to see more of those programs. And I'm going to say Michigan State, Minnesota, and Indiana. Michigan State, as expected, will have a powerhouse defense. But the offense was really sluggish Friday night against Tulsa, and they're probably going to want to shore that up in the weeks to come. Minnesota was taken down to the wire against a really solid but still nonetheless FCS opponent by beating South Dakota State 28-21, and they were trailing in the fourth quarter. Minnesota fans are not going to want to be that nervous ever again playing an FCS team, and they're going to have to play a lot better next weekend against Fresno State. Indiana is really happy about being 1-0 by beating Ball State 34-24. But, man, missed catches on offense and, more importantly, missed tackles on defense. I think I read that their coach said they had 25 missed tackles. That will leave the Hoosier fans a little bit of a worry. They will want to see a major improvement this week against Eastern Illinois before having to play against Big Ten's best, Ohio State. Biggest losers, this was an easy choice for me, and that's Northwestern and Purdue, only because those are the only two teams that got a loss in week one. Northwestern really struggled offensively, but they challenged themselves week one by going to Stanford. So they're not going to play that tough a team on the road probably very often, but they still want to get that offense going. Purdue has the toughest performance of the week by far, losing to Nevada and blowing a 31-14 lead. I believe they had 5 turnovers. That is not the start Purdue fans were expecting from a team with high expectations. They definitely are looking to bounce back against Vanderbilt this weekend to try to put week one behind them. Overall, however, a 12-2 week one for the Big Ten is not a terrible way to start for the conference. College football is back, baby, and it's a great thing.
And you guys, the listeners, now get to understand what I've dealt with for 21 years, a great sports mind with B-Rent's Take. Thanks, Brent. We'll see you next week. So now that brings us to our state report, the state of Indiana, the college football teams that we follow here locally. We're going to start off with the Purdue Boilermakers. They lost last Friday on the road in Reno to Nevada by the score of 34-31 when walk-on kicker Brandon Talton kicked a game-winning 56-yard field goal and after the game was awarded a scholarship by the Nevada coaching staff. The Wolfpack overcame a 24-7 halftime deficit and a fourth-quarter deficit of 31-17 to win the game. Elijah Sindelar led the Boilermakers with 423 yards passing and four TDs. As the quarterback, wide receiver Rondell Moore also shined with 11 catches for 123 yards and a TD. The Boilermakers, however, did have five turnovers in the game and must tighten up their defense if they wish to return to a bowl. Purdue will open up their home slate by hosting Vanderbilt at noon on Saturday in West Lafayette. Two state teams met at Lucas Oil Stadium for their respective openers, and in that game, the Indiana Hoosiers defeated the Ball State Cardinals 34-24. The Hoosiers played a game good enough for the win, while the Cardinals played well enough to stay competitive deep into the fourth quarter. Hoosier quarterback Michael Penix, in his first start as a redshirt freshman, threw for over 300 yards with one TD and two interceptions on the day. Ty Freifogel and Wap Fillier had six catches. Stevie Scott had a tough day on the ground, but did score two touchdowns. Maybe the highlight for the Hoosiers was their field goal kicker, Logan Justice, who is a hero, hitting 4 for 4 on his field goal attempts and consecutive field goals from 48, 49, and 50. The defense was led by Raekwon Jones with 11 tackles, and the defense did not tackle well for the most part, missing over 20 tackles, according to the coaching staff after watching film. So that will need to get fixed as Indiana plays Eastern Illinois in Bloomington at 3:30 this Saturday. Ball State came up short but played a solid game. They had to replace some key personnel. A new quarterback, Drew Plitt, threw for 298 yards and two touchdowns, kept Ball State in the game. Receivers Justin Hall and Riley Miller led the Cardinals in receptions. Defensively, the Cardinals held the Hoosier run game in check for most of the day and picked off two passes. Ball State will host Fordham in Muncie at 2 o'clock on Saturday. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish won their season opener 35-17 on the road at Louisville on Monday night. A sluggish Irish defense allowed the game to be close and remain close at half with a 21-14 Notre Dame lead. The Notre Dame running game was dominant all night with 230 yards. Quarterback Ian Book was okay on the night, completing 14 for 23, for 123 yards. A road win is always a good win. Notre Dame will take it. They have the week off to improve before their home opener. Indiana State, the home of B-Rent's Rant, lost on the road to Kansas 24-17 as the Sycamores faced Les Miles in his debut as head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks and gave the Jayhawks everything they had before falling late in the fourth quarter. Actually, the Sycamores took a one-point lead at 17-16 with 4:24 left in the game. The Jayhawks, unfortunately, drove the length of the field for the winning score. Indiana State quarterback Ryan Boyle threw for 219 yards and a touchdown, and running back Titus McCoy ran for 88 yards. The Sycamores will host Dayton at 1 o'clock in Terre Haute next Saturday. So that has it. We'll complete the State of Indiana report. And now on to our main focus of this week. It is our NFL preview. We will go down each conference and each division and give you the predicted order of features and of the predicted order of finish, and we'll also give you a slight feature on what to watch. So beginning in the NFC, we have the NFC East. We think it's going to be Philadelphia winning, Dallas in second, Washington in third, New York Giants in fourth. Can Carson Wentz stay healthy and lead the Eagles? Is Ezekiel Elliott going to sign? And can Dallas break through and win and make the playoffs? Those two teams are the teams to watch in the NFC East. Moving on to what is believed to be maybe the toughest division in the NFC is the NFC North. Three of these four teams possibly can win the division. Chicago is favored at number one. Green Bay with a new coach, which would be interesting to watch what kind of offense. As long as you have Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have a good offense. Minnesota has a lot of talent. And then the Detroit Lions coming in fourth. Don't be surprised if Chicago, Green Bay, or Minnesota, one of those three, sneak up and take the division from last year's champion, the Chicago Bears. The NFC South, I think, will belong to the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees. Drew Brees has had a remarkable career and should lead the Saints not only to the South, but possibly to the Super Bowl. Some competition comes from Carolina and Atlanta. Matt Ryan does a nice job. Julio Jones is quite the receiver at Atlanta. Tampa Bay with a new coach, is Bruce Arians, is going to be electric. So even though Tampa Bay is selected fourth here by us at Sports Talk with Tonsoni, tune into a Tampa Bay game and you'll see Jameis Winston throwing the ball all over the place in the NFC South. The NFC West, the Los Angeles Rams, Coach McVay does a great job there. They ran into some difficulty late last year as defenses kind of disguised their coverages and gave quarterback Jared Goff a lot of issues. Never count out Seattle. Jimmy Garoppolo returns after a devastating knee injury for San Francisco, and Kyler Murray and the new coach at Arizona gets fired at college and then gets a head coaching job at Arizona and is supposed to bring a high-powered offense to Arizona. We'll see. But it's going to be the Rams winning it in the West. So we have the division winners, Philadelphia, Chicago, New Orleans, and Los Angeles. We believe that New Orleans and Los Angeles will get the bye. Chicago and Philadelphia will have to play in the first week against these two wild card teams. We believe Green Bay and Dallas will make the playoffs. Teams to watch to compete for a playoff berth would be Minnesota, Carolina, Atlanta, and Seattle. So those are the 10 teams that have a chance to make the playoffs, according to us here at Sports Talk with Tonsoni. The AFC. The AFC East belongs to the New England Patriots. Yes, Tom Brady is getting old, but Tom Brady is still good. No Gronkowski at tight end, but they have a myriad of weapons, and Coach Belichick is simply a genius. A lot of people here in the Indianapolis area don't like to hear that, but it is the truth. And you have three rebuilding teams following. We believe that the New York Jets with Le'Veon Bell, Sam Darnold will move into second spot. Buffalo third, and Miami looks to be in a rebuild as they traded a lot of their players for future draft picks and might be in a tanking type of season. The AFC North looks to be very competitive as well. We're going to give the nod to the Cleveland Browns, and probably that's not good because they do have a lot of talent. They have a new quarterback, Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Nick Chubb, Jarvis Landry. They should be able to score. Their defense is solid, and Cleveland is starving for a winner. So I think a lot of people are placing the Cleveland Browns at the top of the AFC North. But do not count out traditional teams, Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Those teams embody the word toughness and find ways to win. Pittsburgh has lost some talent on the offensive side, but that might be more of a blessing in losing Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. They have replaced them with solid talent, and I think Pittsburgh is the team that probably will sneak up and win if it's not Cleveland, but don't count out Baltimore, and Cincinnati will round out the fourth spot. The AFC South, with Andrew Luck's retirement, takes a little bit of a turn. A shocking news story a couple weeks ago with Andrew Luck's retirement. I say congratulations, Andrew. I know there's a difference of opinion on timing, and that can be, you know, debated on whether he did this at the right time or not. But the NFL is a very, very tough, competitive sport, and Andrew Luck has a lot going for him in life, and I applaud the strength and courage that it took to make the decision. And I wish those that disagree with me over time will remember Andrew Luck for the quality person he was and the quality athlete he was here in Indianapolis. But the AFC South will look like this. Believe that it'll be Houston in first, Indianapolis second, and competing. I think Jacoby Brissett will have a chip on his shoulder and like to show people that he can quarterback. Tennessee third, Jacksonville fourth, and that's a little more competitive than people might think. The AFC West, Kansas City. What an explosive offense led by Coach Andy Reid. Mahomes at quarterback and Kelce. Their running back situation always seems to be a little bit of a blur. They find some greatness out of nothing, and they're going to have to do that again. But Andy Reid knows how to coach. Look for the Chargers to make a push. And Coach Gruden at Oakland, one of my favorite to listen to. And if you, I did not see any of the Hard Knocks on HBO, but I imagine that was quite the story to watch. I believe he's going to turn around Oakland, whether it's going to be this year or not. But we believe they will be third in the AFC West and followed up by the Denver Broncos. So the four teams in: New England, Cleveland, Houston, and Kansas City. Kansas City and New England will be 1-2 and get the byes. Cleveland and Houston will have to play these wild card teams. The Los Angeles Chargers and the Pittsburgh Steelers will make the playoffs. Teams that we believe here at Sports Talk with Tonsoni to potentially make the playoffs would be Oakland, Baltimore, and Indianapolis can make some push to get those wild card spots. Overall, prediction from Coach Tonsoni: New Orleans versus Kansas City in the Super Bowl. My dream Super Bowl would be the Chicago Bears versus the Cleveland Browns. As I grew up near Chicago and have been a Bears fan my entire life, my late father was a huge Cleveland Browns fan, and I followed them for most of my 50 years as well. And so the two teams that I've watched the most over 52 years, both should make the playoffs, can make the playoffs, and can make a run for the dream Super Bowl. So our main storyline there is our NFL preview. Not a lot of in-depth. Make sure you check your fantasy team and get your fantasy rosters set if you have any Bears or Packers by Thursday, and Sunday games at 1 o'clock, don't miss. And if you're in the elimination games, make sure you go through and find your teams to pick. Also, in the state of Indiana, if you head to a casino, sports gambling is legal now in the state of Indiana. You can go and wager on sports for season-long bets, and I imagine weekend games against the spread and all of that stuff. If you are a bettor on sports, go to your local casino. I've heard also that there will be an app and an online version to come with no estimated time of when that will begin. Our last segment of the show is our college pick'em. Went 7-3. We're not going against the spread, so it's somewhat easy, I think. We lost the Purdue game on a last-second field goal. UCLA was not very good, and Oregon lost on the last second. So 7-3 with two last-minute losses. I'll take that. Probably need to stay away from the Pac-12 as I've lost two games there. So here we go for this week's college pick'em. Vanderbilt at Purdue. Purdue gets its first win of the season. It's a lot closer than people will want, but Purdue and Rondell Moore will catch two or three touchdown passes and win the game. Eastern Illinois at Indiana. The Hoosiers fix some of their tackling problems, continue with the big play on offense, and get a solid, convincing win at home. Nebraska at Colorado. What a game. This is can go either way, but I've been on the Colorado bandwagon. They have a great receiver and a great quarterback. They can put up some points. It's at home, renewing an old Big 12 rivalry in Nebraska at Colorado. I think the home field advantage helps Buffaloes to win by six. Another really fun game to watch, Syracuse at Maryland. Maryland put up a lot of points in their opener. Syracuse is ranked in the top 25. I think Syracuse goes into Maryland and picks up a close road victory, winning at the end. A couple games of the week to watch. Texas A&M at Clemson, outstanding. I don't think anyone beats Clemson. I think that's an easy pad, although the Texas A&M players are predicting an upset. I wouldn't mind seeing. I'm going to be rooting for Texas A&M, but I'm going with Clemson here. LSU at Texas, probably the toughest matchup of the week. Two teams that I like to cheer for, so I'm going to come out on top either way. I'd like to see Texas win this just to keep the SEC at bay a little bit for when it comes to the second team in the tournament. I'm predicting the Longhorns by three in this game. BYU at Tennessee. Both teams lost their opener. Tennessee is just in a spiral downward over the last 10, 15 years. But I do think the Vols overcome their opening loss, rally together, and find a little fight and pull out this victory. Nevada at Oregon. Ducks too much at home. And they're poised to run the table and maybe get back into consideration for the Final Four. West Virginia at Missouri. Missouri was supposed to be a surprise team in the SEC. West Virginia, under a new direction, eked out a victory at home. This should be for the Tigers, but I'm going to predict an upset here. West Virginia, as the Tigers continue to struggle. If I'm going to lose one of these games, I think that one's probably it. But I'm going to go with West Virginia. Stanford at USC. USC just lost their quarterback and have to play maybe a true freshman. Stanford is very tough to play against. I think Stanford goes on the road and gets a win at USC. So that will do it for this episode of Sports Talk with Tonsoni. Thanks for tuning in. And make sure to go leave a comment on Twitter or on our website. Let us know what topics you would like to hear. Good luck with your fantasy teams and your favorite football teams, both in college and NFL. And until next week, so long.